Quick question. When was the last time that you actually looked at your website and thought, this is really working for me? If the answer is you're not sure, don't worry because you're not alone. Most therapists have a website, but they don't actually know what's helping it to convert, what might be confusing potential clients, and what might actually be turning people away. That's exactly why a website audit is so helpful because it can give you a clear outside perspective on what's actually happening when someone lands on your website. So I'm hosting a live website audit workshop April 17th, where I will walk you through what to look for, look at your website live, talk about what to fix, and how to make your website actually work for you. To learn more and sign up, head to the show notes to register. Now, onto the episode. You're listening to the Raise to Empower podcast. I'm your host, Ashley Comegys, a licensed clinical social worker with a multi-state online therapy practice. I have a passion for empowering women and mom therapists to break free of the fear, overwhelm, and oppressive systems that hold them back from taking action and building the private practice of their dreams. My goal is for you to boldly believe in yourself as a clinician and business owner. If you're looking for a place to learn practice building strategy and skill while also claiming your own power as a woman and a therapist, then you're in the right place. Welcome to the show. Welcome to this week's episode of the Raise to Empower podcast. Today's episode is going to be a little bit more raw and just a little bit more personal, maybe some more vulnerability and honesty just about how I'm doing and how I'm feeling and what's been going on in my life and kind of behind the scenes. And I wanted to do this episode as a way to maybe connect in a different way with listeners. I've been worried about sharing some of what I'm going to share today because of just imposter syndrome or fear of judgment. As you've heard me talk about on this show, sometimes our community, our network, our field can be judgmental of others in private practice and in other kind of side businesses. And so there's definitely been a little bit of a fear of what others will say, what others will think, how they'll see me or perceive me. But I am a big believer in vulnerability allows for connection and it allows for community and it allows for others to feel seen and heard because they either identify with what somebody else is going through and they may learn something through what I'm going through. You know, oftentimes I think we tend to look at others and we see they have a business, whether it's a private practice or a coaching or a consulting business, or they have a course and we see them posting about it or talking about it or sharing about it. And we look at that and think, wow, like they must be doing amazing. Things must be going like so well there. And they're thriving, they're happy, they have balance, right? We might assume all of these things, but we don't always know the whole picture of what it has taken to get there or what's going on behind the scenes, right? We see, again, the social media persona or the pictures or emails of what they're sending, but we don't always know the other side of that. That's where I decided, you know, I want today to be, you know, just very transparent and just kind of honest about what's been going on with me. Because again, I think my story has the potential and the ability to resonate with you guys as listeners in a variety of different ways and in various aspects of your own life. So my business model is I have two separate businesses. I have a private practice that I have been solo in since 2019. I had a solo practice starting in 2015 that I then eventually moved into a group practice that I'd helped start build, then left and went completely on my own into solo, completely online private practice at the start of 2019. And my private practice runs itself in many, many ways. I have a really great website that gets me the majority of my referrals. My caseload is pretty much full. There's not a whole lot that I have to be doing outside of one-on-one therapy sessions to market and grow my practice. Yes, there are things I have to do, obviously, but it doesn't require outside of the therapy room a whole lot from me. I also have a second business, my Raise to Empower business, which this podcast kind of falls under that side. That's kind of where I do coaching or consulting for other women and moms in building and growing their private practices. I started that part of my business in the start of 2020. And throughout the course of that business, I've had and done a variety of different things. I do one-on-one coaching on starting a practice, or maybe people who have a practice already, I help them in kind of figuring out certain aspects. You know, a lot of times people come to me if they're moving and, you know, how do they navigate that? Because I know I have done that several times. I have several mini courses. I have resources and tools and workbooks and some downloads and those kinds of things. That is the other half of my business. Again, this podcast is part of that. And so the biggest thing that I've actually had as part of my Raise to Empower business, separate from the private practice, the biggest thing that I've had going on really the last year and a half was my Village membership. In my Village community, we have monthly meetings and events. We do trainings, networking meetings. It's an opportunity for other moms and women clinicians to connect with one another and to support one another, support each other, to learn from each other, to gain knowledge and experience. And I've had that community for the last year and a half, and it has brought me a consistent monthly income. That's one of the beauties with a membership, is people pay every month. And so there was income that was coming in every month from my membership. And the membership didn't really require daily engagement from me, but it does and did require planning and preparation of, hey, this is what's coming at this point in the month, or looking ahead, next month we're going to be doing this theme or talking about this topic. And so preparing trainings or getting guests to come into the community. Again, there wasn't this daily engagement necessarily that was required of me, but there was a planning ahead, thinking ahead, having to kind of be on at different times consistently, even if it was, okay, it's not till, you know, in a week that this event is happening, but I had to be available at that time that week because of the planning and the preparation and the expectation of community members that this event was going to be happening. I love my Village community. I love my members. I love what the community stands for. I love connecting with other people in the community. I love seeing how we have come together to support one another and just what that support has done for members of our Village community. When I took time in my private practice for my maternity leave in 2023, the plan was to be able to continue to engage with and grow the Village community even while I was on maternity leave. It was something that didn't require me to show up in the way that working with clients one-on-one in therapy does. And it felt like this is something that I could easily do with having a baby still at home with me. So fast forward now to October of 2023, my third child was born. And to be honest, at the beginning, following her birth, things were going pretty well. And then life happens, right? We go home from the hospital. There's now not just me and my husband in this like little bubble cocoon of the hospital. We're now home with our two kids. In addition to a brand new baby, the baby starts struggling with feedings and having a hard time with nursing. My oldest starts having more anxiety. Family goes home. Grandparents are no longer in town. The visitors dry up that are supposed to be there helping us. And then we also have, you know, several family crises that happen within a few months of my daughter's birth. My oldest son, who has severe food allergies, had an anaphylactic reaction that landed him in pediatric ICU for 24 hours. My husband broke his foot. We had a stomach virus that rampaged through our house. We had lots of sleep deprivation, a newborn baby that wouldn't sleep because her belly was not feeling well because of food issues that she was having with what I was eating. You know, there was just so much happening. There was a lot of what I call just postpartum overwhelm. It wasn't necessarily postpartum depression. It wasn't necessarily postpartum anxiety, but really it was just this severe feeling of overwhelm because truthfully, like there's just this lack of systems that are there to support moms in postpartum. And that's for a whole other episode, but really there was just this overwhelm of, oh my gosh, what are we doing with three kids? How are we going to get by? So then add in with all of that, as you've probably heard, if you are a frequent listener of this show, my husband is in the Coast Guard. And being a military family, we are required every few years to move. We've known for over a year that this summer was going to be our next move. Following the birth of my daughter, we're pretty much looking at, okay, we have about 9 months until we're going to be out of here. So we found out in March that we are going to be moving to Virginia this summer. So on top of everything that comes with trying to figure out how to be a family with three kids, with a baby that is not an easy baby, with a child that is neurodivergent and has a lot of anxiety and severe food allergies. On top of all of that, we have this big move happening. And so we're having to prepare our family to help support our kids who are struggling with this, to prepare our house that we currently own, that we live in, to be rented out. We're going to rent our house while we move. And to then find a new place, right? To find a house in this new area that we are going to be heading to prepare to move my therapy practice, to get all of the things that come with a move set up, right? Daycares, doctor's appointments, utilities, new addresses for work, all of this stuff. There's so many things. Even though, you know, at the start of the year, we weren't necessarily deep in that, things of the, you know, related to the move were starting to happen. The wheels were starting to turn. Things were being put into motion. And so life just started to become extremely overwhelming with the excessive amounts of demands that were just being put on me. And some of them were self-imposed and some of them were just life-imposed, but there was just a lot happening. As I began to anticipate returning to my private practice the end of February and thinking about, okay, what is it going to look like in working with clients again? What is it going to look like with still having a baby that is breastfeeding and that I'm going to have to pump and all of the other stressors that come too with just two additional children then as well? I realized that was going to be extremely overtapped between my private practice, the care of a newborn and my two additional kids, preparing for the move, and then my additional business. I knew in my gut that something was going to have to give and my kids were not going to be one of those places. It wasn't like I had other people that I could even necessarily put some of the duties and responsibilities of some of the stuff with my kids onto anybody else, just because we don't have help and support where we live. I knew that I was just needed in a different way than I was prior to having my third baby. I knew in my gut that if something was going to have to give, if some place was going to have to get put aside, that it was going to have to be in my coaching business. And the reason that it was going to have to be in my coaching business was because that was a part that was requiring the most from me. And the part that was requiring that most from me was Village, my Village community. I had been wanting to revamp the membership to improve it, to grow members, to build better engagement. It was something that probably for about 6 months prior to this, I had been attempting to kind of do a bit and was planning and preparing for kind of a new direction I wanted the membership to go in. But I knew that given where I currently was with everything going on with my family and my personal life and what was to come in the next few months with a move, that there was no way that I was going to really be able to actually engage or re-engage the community in the way that I needed to And I didn't have the space mentally and I didn't have the time physically to give my village community really what it deserves. While I knew in my gut it was what I needed to do, I really avoided trying to think about it and like getting to a place of making that decision. I had a really hard time truly accepting the decision and making the call. And for a variety of reasons, to be honest, it was the most consistent financial part of my business at the time. It was something that brought in monthly income. And so I was going to have to stop getting that income. I was going to be stopping and shutting down a part of my business that actually made me money. And it felt kind of counterintuitive. Like, why would you do that? I was really extremely proud of the membership that I had created. And I was really sad to have to stop it. It was something that I take a lot of pride in and I really enjoyed. I didn't want to have to admit to my community members and really to myself that I couldn't handle it all, right? That like, hey, this has just become too much. And I honestly was really worried about what was going to happen when I am eventually ready to start the community again. What would people think? Will they even be interested? What will outsiders think of me? Will they see me as unsuccessful? Will they trust me, right? Will they be interested in engaging again? Or will they think like, oh, you stopped this before, you know, what's going to happen now? Are they going to want to work with me? I'm not going to lie. I still have some of those thoughts. I still struggle with that sometimes. And again, going back to that financial piece, this was the thing that was bringing me in money. This was able to help provide and support other aspects of my business financially. That felt really scary to turn that faucet off, to turn that piece of income off. But I knew that I had to do it because it really was requiring a part of me, a time that I just could not give and really feel good about what I was doing. I really struggled with finally just making the call and finally sending the email saying, hey, members, I need to tell you something. But as soon as I did, as soon as I told members that Village was going to be put on hiatus, that I was going to have to shut down the membership for the time being, that I have intentions in the future of being able to kind of revamp and revive it. As soon as I told them, hey, here's how this is going to work, I'm going to have to stop it at this point, there really was a huge sense of relief for me. I had avoided having that conversation, being honest with myself, being honest with my community. I had avoided it for so long because of all those thoughts that I talked about, all of those things of how I was judging myself, how I thought others may judge me, and what that was going to mean for me in the future.
We've all been told we need to network in our private practice, but no one actually tells us how to do it or what to say. Enter Comprehensive Connecting, effective scripts that expand your networking community and actually fill your online practice. This free guide will give you effective scripts to connect with fellow clinicians, medical professionals, and community stakeholders to build strong networking relationships that will help fill your practice. In this guide, you will get tips and tricks for building relationships that will lead to referrals in your practice, real-life examples of messages used to connect with referral sources, and customizable plug-and-send scripts for your specific practice needs. So download your free scripts guide today by going to bit.ly/compconnecting.
Are you a mental health practitioner looking to streamline your administrative tasks and get rid of the overwhelm of running your practice? Look no further than Simple Practice, the electronic health record designed with you in mind. Simple Practice isn't just another electronic health record. It's your secret weapon for simplifying the chaos. From scheduling appointments to billing and beyond, Simple Practice has everything you need to run your practice efficiently and effectively. With Simple Practice, you can finally reclaim your time and focus on what truly matters, your clients and your family. Gone are the days of scrambling to manage appointments and billing. Simple Practice handles it all seamlessly so you can spend less time stressing and more time connecting.
With Simple Practice, you can schedule appointments with ease, send automated appointment reminders to reduce no-shows, and even conduct secure video sessions all within one platform. Plus, their HIPAA-compliant telehealth feature ensures that your client's privacy is always protected. Simple Practice also streamlines your billing process, allowing you to create and send professional invoices, accept credit card payments, and even submit insurance claims all with just a few clicks. Simple Practice has designed their platform to be intuitive and easy to use because they know that your time is precious and every moment counts. So whether you're squeezing in clients between school pickups and sports practices or catching up on paperwork during nap time, Simple Practice has your back. Join the ranks of empowered women and mom therapists who are revolutionizing their practice with Simple Practice. Ready to streamline your practice and simplify your life? Head over to bit.ly/AshleySimplePractice to start your 30-day free trial and get up to $200 off your paid subscription. Trust me, you won't know how you ever lived without it. When I knew that I needed to cut back, I really had to look at the nuts and bolts of everything, look at the minutia, look at how everything operated, look at the dollars and cents and the amount of time things take from me. And so I did try to figure out like what would make the most sense to cut back on or to stop. You know, my private practice, as I said before, it really runs itself. It makes consistent money. I have a consistent caseload. It's not something that I have to do a whole lot out of side of those one-on-one sessions. Then I had to kind of look at, okay, well, what parts of my coaching and consulting business, are there things there that maybe are requiring more from me, but that I just can't give of right now? So when I decided to figure out, okay, well, what parts of that business that is not my main source of income at this point, what parts of this can I let go of? And what parts do I want to keep? I really looked at like, what brings me joy in this business? What helps me or will help me to continue to build followers and listeners and requires the least amount of time from me? My coaching business is much more fluid at this point compared to my private practice. It's not self-sufficient like my practice is. It takes a creative part of me that right now, with everything I have going on in life, I just cannot tap into in the same way. And so I knew that the village community was going to have to be something that I let go of. People could say, well, why wouldn't you let go of your podcast? That may not be bringing in the kind of income that village was. And to be honest, this podcast is something that I really enjoy. It really brings me so much joy. It really brings me fulfillment. It's actually like an outlet for me to be able to kind of share and process what's going on with me, to be able to support other listeners, to engage with guests. And I knew that this would be a way to continue to engage with people and to build an audience so that when I am ready again in the future to re-engage other aspects of my business, like Village or other future projects, that this will be something that will have help to lead to people to engage with those parts of my business. I knew that because I couldn't tap into that creative part of me, I knew what I had to let go of. To be honest, it has been really hard to let go of my village community because I really enjoy it. I really love connecting with other providers and other moms. I love connecting about our practices. I love connecting about just our personal lives. But it also has been a really huge relief to be able to put that piece aside because I haven't felt this pressure to have to produce and plan ahead, which is really challenging in this part of my life. It's really hard to plan and prepare because every day just feels a bit different because of the dynamics going on in our family currently. So absolutely the questions of how are others going to perceive me? You know, how will you as listeners of this episode, what are you guys going to think? Are you going to judge me or are you going to see this as, okay, she's being raw and vulnerable and open and honest, and this is helpful to me as a listener. Are you going to see that or are you going to see me in a different way? You know, those thoughts still creep into my internal narrative, but In my heart, I know that this was absolutely the best decision for me and my family for now. I'm sharing this in this episode because I know there are others who are in a similar place of having to make decisions of what to put on hold, what to let go of. Maybe it's having to let go of a project you've been working on. Maybe it is letting go of a type of client or a payer source that you work with. Maybe it's letting go of a plan you've had of how things are supposed to go or what you're wanting to work towards. Maybe it's letting go of a responsibility you have for others that you cannot fulfill, either in your personal life or in your business. It is so easy to just pile more and more on. And as life shifts and changes, and as our personal life and family life enters into different seasons, it's easy to say, well, I've done it before. I can just take more things on. I can do it all. I can handle this, right? But there are times in life when life circumstances force us to just have to say no to things, even if we really love those things, even if they make us money. What I'm trying to do is to remind myself that stopping my village community isn't a forever thing. The season that I'm currently in just demands so much of me, but it is a season. It is not going to last forever. Therefore, I will be able to eventually rebuild Village, and it will be different, and it will be something that brings me joy, and it will be something that I have the time to give to that I just don't right now. But for now, I'm having to let go of that, and I'm having to do it as a way to protect myself and my own mental and emotional well-being. I want to just encourage you that if you're in that space of wrestling with decisions and wrestling with the grief that comes with having to say no or to put something aside or to shut something down or to stop doing something that you love, if you're wrestling with that, you're not alone. And I hope that you can remind yourself, just like I'm trying to lean into and remind myself, that this is probably just for a season. If and when you're ready, that thing that you're having to say no to, that thing that you're having to let go of, you can pick that thing back up again when the time is right. We don't need to be stressing ourselves out and putting more pressure on ourselves than life, family, society already does. I'm encouraging you and kind of calling you into this space of saying no where you need to and to be okay with that. Even if others may say you're foolish for doing it that way, to remind yourself that you know you best and to exist in a place of suffering for the sake of trying to prove something is not going to help you, but is only going to make things harder for you and for your family. I hope that this episode and this vulnerability and this rawness that I'm exposing here, I hope that there's something in here that you can take with you. And that if you are struggling to let go of and adjust to the seasons that life has you in, that this can be an episode that you can feel encouraged by and to feel seen in and to know that you're not alone, that there are so many others going through this. And if no one else tells you, I'm in this with you. I really want to thank you for joining me here today and for letting me be open and honest with you here. And I hope that you will join me again next week for another episode of the Raised to Empower podcast. Thank you so much for listening to the Raised to Empower podcast. Check the show notes for all links and resources mentioned in the show. If you found today's episode helpful or inspiring, be sure to share it with your therapist friends. And don't forget to subscribe to the show and leave your 5-star rating and review. It truly means so much to me and will help us get our message of empowerment out to other women and mom clinicians. And I'd love to connect with you in our Facebook community. So check out the show notes for the link or head to bit.ly/raisedtoempower to join us. I'll see you back here next week.